Charisse Baldoria opens her essay titled Elements in this way. In August, billows of green rise with tufts of rust and gold. We're headed to the town park, but encounter the river instead, where mountains and trees grow from hazy, inverted versions of themselves, a vision that stretches left and right as we march like converts toward the bank. It is 2012. My husband, Dave, and I have just moved to Bloomsburg, a small Pennsylvania town in the Ridge and Valley Appalachians, where I accepted a one-year position to teach piano at the university. We've never lived in the countryside before, and I feel more at ease getting lost in a foreign city than in a forest, which I imagine will swallow me whole. A tree clings to land's edge, but curves down toward the mirror, crowding the frame. It doesn't look like water. It's not blue, unlike the seas surrounding the island where I was born. Or maybe it's blue in parts, depending on where you look. As we get closer to the bank, the sky reveals its waterborne self, a stealthy sea. Our one-year stay will turn into more than 10. A decade later, I will tell my friends that when I die, I want my ashes spread in three places: the Susquehanna River in Bloomsburg, the woods behind our garden not too far away, and the coral reefs of Analeao, Philippines, just 60 miles from where I was born and where I used to scuba dive. Bloomsburg scores 2 out of 3, an accomplishment for an adopted home. Words of Charisse Baldoria opening her essay Elements. And Elements is a prime example that allows editor Jerry Wemple to write with conviction. Whether we are native-born or have come to settle in Pennsylvania, there is something in the state that seeps into us, that becomes part of us. Rivers, Ridges, and Valleys, Essays on Rural Pennsylvania, has recently been released by Catamount Press, a collection of 27 essays with contributors who are established writers, and through their writing, readers will be able to feel their connection to the rivers, ridges, and valleys of the state. Jerry Wemple is a poet, nonfiction writer, and editor. He has published 4 poetry collections. Most recently, We Always Wondered What Became of You from Broadstone Books. Among Wemple's honors are the Naomi Long Maggett Poetry Award, a Pennsylvania Council on the Arts Fellowship in Literature, and the Jack and Helen Evans Endowed Faculty Fellowship. He teaches in the Creative Writing Program at the Commonwealth University of Pennsylvania, Bloomsburg campus. We had a chance to speak by phone with Jerry Wemple about his passion for Pennsylvania and his most recent collection.
I think about all the great American writers like Faulkner, who creates this mythological but based on reality county in Mississippi. One of my favorite writers and short story writers in the 20th century was John Cheever, who really helped define the idea of the suburbs, Westchester County in New York. And then, of course, John O'Hara, who was from Pottsville and really kind of documented Pottsville society, that upper class, the wealthy people who were taking all the money and profiting from the coal mines. And he did it so well that people held him in low regard for many years because he kind of exposed all their eccentricities and foibles. And it wasn't until like maybe several years ago that people felt like comfortable talking about him in Pottsville and maybe honoring him a little bit. And then there's, so many poets that I love. We just had a great poet, contemporary poet, Michael Garrigan, who is from down in Lancaster County along the Susquehanna. And he came to visit my poetry class, poetry as literature, not poetry as writing class. And we read his most recent book, River Amen, which talks a lot about the Susquehanna River and kind of warts and all. Like he talks about this kind of post-industrial wilderness where, yeah, maybe things are a little polluted, but you try to make the best of it because throughout the former coal region, yeah, there are still polluted streams. But what I try to impress upon my students is even the local, we're always writing about the local, and the place that you live is important. Other people, like we always bring in Pennsylvania writers to work with students and say, these places are important. These are interesting places. You just have to recognize that because lots of people do. So that's the thing I always point out. Like, there's nothing that's second class of Pennsylvania. It's a really wonderful and diverse place, and you have to learn to appreciate it.
And your new volume demonstrates that so ably, Jerry. So much of the time when we've talked before, you have been writing out of Pennsylvania or Florida, as you say in the introduction to this collection. You spent time in Florida, but you were longing for Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I've always had a feeling for Pennsylvania and feeling like, oh, particularly central Pennsylvania and the small towns, I always felt like this is where I belonged. And it wasn't until a few years ago I started researching my family because I thought my great-grandfather, I thought he was a more recent immigrant because I remember him when I was a little kid. He was born in the late 1800s, but he and my great-grandmother spoke German to one another, and I thought, oh, they're immigrants. I'm a little kid, I didn't know. And then I actually went back and found out that his ancestors came to Montour County in the 1770s. So part of my family has been living in this same area for a long time, for a very long time. And so there's like maybe this ancestral pool or something, because I really feel like this is my place.
We know of you, I think, particularly as a poet, Jerry, but this is a collection of essays. So tell us about the impulse to collect these stories, and how did you come to choose the particular essays you did?
Well, a couple of years ago, I regularly attend academic conferences, and there was one in Baltimore a couple of years ago, and I put together a panel about people who wrote about rural Pennsylvania, and it could be poems, it could be nonfiction, it could be a short story. But we put together a nice panel and presented it, had a nice audience, and talked back and forth. And then eventually this idea of putting together a collection of essays about rural Pennsylvania sort of gelled, and I worked on that for a while, and things got slowed down as they did during COVID and the consolidation of the university as well. But eventually I got it all together, but I put out a call on social media and on some academic websites and reaching out to people around the state that I knew, because I have a wide network of writer friends, and got a lot of responses. And Ann Dyer Stewart, who is my colleague here at Bloomsburg, she and I read a bunch of the work and kind of figured out what went together and what provided different perspectives, because, you know, you don't want five essays about the Back Mountain or something. You want a variety of voices and a variety of locations. And so in the end, I think it's sort of like a kaleidoscope, which I think central Pennsylvania and all of rural Pennsylvania is like. You go over the hill and it's a totally different world. I always think of where I grew up in Sunbury. If you went over the mountain to Shamokin, it's totally different. But also if you want to cross the river to Snyder County, it's different. And, you know, you can tell those distinct areas, at least when I was growing up, pretty easily, and I think you still can. And that's what I was trying to get in this collection, was lots of different perspectives, lots of different voices.
Let's just talk about the one about language, because you say when you were in the Navy, for example, you bumped into people from Harrisburg, and you say, I know exactly where you're from, that kind of thing. But the language is so much a key here in terms of going over the mountain, right?
Yes. One of the great things about teaching here at Bloomsbury, we get students from all over Pennsylvania, but I can always tell the central Pennsylvania students, because they say there's a few linguistic markers. Like, for example, in central Pennsylvania, we say, my one friend and I went to the store. But outside of central Pennsylvania, we just say, my friend and I went to the store. And there's a great essay by a linguist who appears in here. She was actually one of the people who was part of the presentation down in Baltimore. Cassandra George is by training a linguist and does some great research on Pennsylvania dialects, and she's really just kind of at the start of her career. I think she'll be doing some really interesting work, and I liked her essay so much as, yeah, we got to include something like this because it's distinct, where you can just go a few miles and people speak differently than in the town that you just visited.
And you have so much about the real environment, the trees, the flowers. We could recognize the rhododendrons and all of those things. So even if the essayists are just setting a scene and not focusing on the millions of trees in Penn's Woods, it's still so much a part of many of these essays.
Yes, it's great. I think of the very first one, which I think is a great introduction. These are all in just alphabetical order because I really didn't know how to divide them up any other way. But the first one by Charisse Baldoria is so interesting. She's originally from the Philippines, but she lives here in Bloomsburg and talks so eloquently about the river, but even just about the plants around her house. And so you get a really great sense of her environment, of what she enjoys and how much Pennsylvania has come to mean to her, and obviously a much, much different place than her homeland.
And the river rises up also as being such a key player in these essays.
Yeah, I feel this connection to the Susquehanna River. I'm fortunate that I live in a river town now and that I grew up at the confluence of the West and North branches there in Sunbury. And I think other people appreciate how important the Susquehanna is, for sure, because it drains about two-thirds of our state. So, you know, even if you're just on a little tributary of it, you realize, oh, I'm part of this large watershed, and you can start to feel like, oh, yeah, the mountains are part of it, and it just influences our environment so much. But then we also have to think, as one of the other essays by Aurora Bonner speaks, about our caretaking of it, that sometimes we let it get polluted and we damage it, and we should think more and take better care of our environment, of the river and other aspects of the environment.
And those of us up the Susquehanna, Schuylkill County as well, we're used to thinking about the history of anthracite coal here, and coal does get touched on in these essays.
Yeah, obviously there's almost a requirement to have an essay about Centralia and its long history. And just, I think the anthracite region in Pennsylvania is just pretty well known. Wherever I go, people know about it, and I've traveled many places. So I think we might tend to forget how important the anthracite region is in American history and really help fuel the, you know, industry and heat homes. And I remember talking to my former father-in-law up in Massachusetts, and he was like, oh, yeah, we used anthracite to heat our home when I was a kid. You know, so that's what he associated Pennsylvania with, is being warm in the winter in Massachusetts.
So often the state of Pennsylvania is associated with polkas, the Pennsylvania polka, and the bands and the cultural heritage and traditions that were passed on and are trying to stay alive in terms of the background of the bands and the music.
Allison Condi Janicki talks about polkas out in western Pennsylvania, like, oh, the members of my family played the Cleveland-style polka. And I was like, what? You know, I was fascinated to learn about that, because I think of polka in northeastern Pennsylvania on Saturday nights. The Pennsylvania polka is on TV still, and looks like people are having a great time. And when I was in the Navy, one of my really close friends played in a polka band as a kid. He was from Nanticoke, and growing up, he played in a polka band. But there's this whole other coal region culture out in western Pennsylvania that we, perhaps in the anthracite region, we don't think about, but very similar culture. Slavic folks playing polkas, but they might be slightly different style.
Jerry, tell us about the essay that you've chosen to include that closes the book. Tell us why you chose what you chose.
Well, that is, yeah, my essay. And, you know, writing is a way of thinking and sorting things out. And I was trying to think about this relationship to the town of Sunbury and my relationship to it. And I wrote this a while ago, and it was published in an online journal, and then I was like, for this collection, I think I'm going to revisit this, and I changed things around significantly. I thought about it quite a bit and changed several things around, but it was this idea of belonging and not belonging, of being in exile, that time that I lived in Florida. And it seems so weird to say that, but I really did feel that way, even when I was as a little kid. And then coming back and trying to reclaim my place, but not quite fitting in part because of ethnicity, or in large part because of that. And, you know, and eventually just sort of reconciling myself with it and trying to think about all this. And so it was, again, just kind of thinking about where I fit in my family, where I fit in the town, where I fit in the world.
And Jerry, there is an essayist who was from North Carolina, came to Pennsylvania. Is he the one who wrote the essay about whiskey, rye?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy is a great guy. He actually teaches up in Mansfield at Commonwealth University Mansfield. And, you know, I've only met him a few times in person because that campus is quite a distance from Bloomsburg. But he was telling me about this, and I'm like, oh, this sounds great. Yeah, go ahead. Because we tend to forget about the Whiskey Rebellion, and that southwestern Pennsylvania, especially the Monongahela Valley, was the whiskey-making capital of early America, and that when the new federal government wanted to impose a tax on whiskey, George Washington remains the only sitting president who commanded troops in the field to put down the Whiskey Rebellion. So he brings that up, but then talks about like how there's this kind of renewed tradition of whiskey making in Pennsylvania. And so it's a really fascinating thing. And he's like, well, we had to do something during COVID. And so his friends and he would go on these bike rides. And then after, they'd build a campfire and sit around and sample different types of whiskey, you know, as a hobby. And because you couldn't do anything else in that middle of COVID. And then eventually he wrote this article about it. And I thought it was a really interesting piece of Pennsylvania history that he brings into a contemporary time.
When you put something like this out, how do you get this volume, for example, out to the world?
Well, I was fortunate. I've been going to this conference the last couple of years called the Writers Conference of Northern Appalachia. And Pennsylvania, 52 of our 67 counties, so pretty much all but the very southeast Pennsylvania, are considered part of Appalachia and the subset of northern Appalachia. And so this conference includes people from parts of Ohio and West Virginia and Maryland and the lower tier of New York State. But been going to it, and one of the publishers who goes there is the owner of Sunbury Press, but it's not that his family is from Northumberland County, and he wanted to honor an ancestor by calling it Sunbury Press, but the press is actually down in the Mechanicsburg area, so their offices are down there. But I got to know him, actually met him before, and so I just kind of said, hey, you have this imprint, Catamount Press, that is focused on rural Pennsylvania. This seems like a good match. And he's like, yes, it is, of course. And so I was fortunate enough to know the right kind of publisher and have the right kind of book for him. So they were able to bring it out, I guess, about a month ago now. And it's both in the print and I believe the e-book version is also available.
And are you going to be out in the community reading or signing?
Sure. Well, we have one event coming up here in Bloomsburg on the 25th. That's Friday. And that's at a local place in downtown Bloomsburg called Brewski's. And it's at 7 o'clock on that Friday, the 25th. And several, I think 7 or 8 so far, of the contributors, some traveling from out of the area, are coming to read their works, their essays in it. And I think that'll be a really great evening. And it's a nice venue. It's pretty low-key early in the evening. You can have a coffee or you can have an adult beverage, and there's lots of seating, and just kind of chill out and listen to these folks. And then we'll have copies of the book for sale there. And if you wanted to get somebody to autograph their contribution, I'm sure they would do that.
When I got to the part in one of the essays quoting John Updike when he was moving from Pennsylvania to Massachusetts, that he had a lot of writing to do to write out his time in Pennsylvania, well, you're just giving the lie to that.
Yeah. One of my poet friends, who you may know of, at least Julia Kasdorf, who teaches at Penn State, we returned back to Pennsylvania about the same time, a while ago now, plus, you know, like over, well, getting close to 30 30 years ago now, and she from New York and me from Massachusetts, and our early books had been about Pennsylvania, and we were like, I wonder if it's going to be hard to write about Pennsylvania now that we're back here in it. But it hasn't been. All of my collections that I published so far are really centered on Pennsylvania. They may mention other places, but you know, at the heart of them is Pennsylvania, and I keep writing about it and probably will until I stop writing.
Jerry Wemple, poet, nonfiction writer, and editor, also essayist. He has published 4 poetry collections, most recently We Always Wondered What Became of You, from Broadstone Books, speaking with us today about a new collection, Rivers, Ridges, and Valleys, Essays on Rural Pennsylvania, issued about a month ago by Catamount Press, an imprint of Sunbury Press. And we'll have a chance to meet some of the 27 contributors this Friday, April 25th at 7, at Brewski's Coffee and Bar in downtown Bloomsburg, 22 East Main Street. That's at 7 o'clock this Friday evening, 22 East Main Street in downtown Bloomsburg. And for more information, you can find Jerry Wemple on Instagram, Jerry Wemple, Professor of English and Creative Writing at Commonwealth University of Pennsylvania, the Bloomsburg campus. Again, Rivers, Ridges, and Valleys, Essays on Rural Pennsylvania, a collection of 27 writers on their relationship with Pennsylvania. For more information, on the web, sunburypress.com, sunburypress.com.